Hi, hello everyone. My name is Monika Maszczybrocka, and I work at the Radboud University in Nijmegen in the Netherlands. And before I start, I would like to acknowledge my collaborators, Heino and Charles, and all other people. And I would like to tell you my little story about these two temperature disks and isothermal jet model that we use to model emission from Sagittarius A star and recently also emission from M87 jet. So here's an introduction. So we use general relativistic MHD simulations, and we would like to compare those simulations to what is observed in these two sources. So we want to model the broadband emission from radio through millimeter to X-rays. In these two sources, so the link to to compare those models to observation is to model electromagnetic radiation produced by the simulations, and in the models, of course, the emission is produced by electrons, and what is not followed in a current GRMHD simulation is this electron distribution function. This is because we are basically trying to model collisionless plasma using fluid equations, and that leaves us a lot of degrees of freedom in basically translating those simulations in observables. So electron distribution function is probably controlled by some kind of subphysics, some plasma physics that is not resolved and will not be resolved in MHD models. In this presentation, I would like to address this electron distribution function problem by using a more phenomenological approach. So here's the model that we study. Our base model is 3D GRMHD simulation of accreting black hole. The black hole is spinning, and we assume some standard spin of about 0.9. In this kind of simulation, we surround the black hole with a rotating torus, ring, or donut, whatever you want to call it. And we also put some initially weak fields inside of this torus. And this is basically something that we call the sane accretion disk. So this accretion disk will produce a steady jet, a kind of low power jet. And of course, we are aware that there are other models out there, but we concentrate on predicting the emission from this kind of standard model. So this is a later stage of the evolution of plasma that is produced in this kind of simulations. And this simulation gives us the dynamics of plasma and magnetic fields. So here's like a sketch that shows how we calculate the radiation from this kind of model. So basically, we take our model at some time slice of the model, and we do the ray tracing calculation, and we basically solve this radiative transfer equation. As a result, we obtain spectral energy distribution as a function of frequency here, and this kind of images in radio part. So the trick is to simultaneously fit the spectrum to the object's observed data points and also fit the measured size of the object. So what goes into this radiative transfer equation? This is some emissivity here and absorptivity of plasma. So of course, we include those most important processes like synchrotron emission and synchrotron self-absorption and inverse Compton process. And what is unknown, as I said, is the electron distribution function. So here, for simplicity, we assume that electron distribution function is Maxwellian, and it's described by one parameter, which is the electron temperature. And basically, this is a free parameter of our model. So what can you assume about electron temperatures? So this is our simple scenario that we used to before. In this electron temperature prescription, electrons are coupled to protons, and there is some coupling constant C. And basically, we use the same prescription for electron temperatures in accretion disk and in inside of the jet. And here's our new model. In this model, we basically use the same prescription for electron temperatures in an accretion disk. So in accretion disk, electrons are coupled to protons, but the coupling constant doesn't have to be equal to one. And here in this new model, we hello. Okay, and in a jet, we assume that electrons have constant temperature. So this is isothermal jet. So why do we think that this is more correct than this? Well, basically, this model encapsulates all this plasma physics that we have heard about yesterday. We think that in a jet, basically, electron heating may be different due to stronger shear, some shocks, or some other plasma effects. Definitely jets are look different than accretion disk. Accretion disk has turbulent magnetic fields. Jets have organized magnetic fields. This may all lead to this kind of distribution functions. And also there is a significant difference. So we found this more more phenomenologically. So in this all scenario, when you couple electrons to protons in the same way everywhere, you will always end up with this kind of spectrum, a synchrotron spectrum that has a kind of steep spectral slope in a radio band. But if you assume this kind of electron temperature distribution function, then you will naturally get something that is close to what we observe in Sagittarius A star, which is the spectral slope is nearly flat. It's not exactly flat, but the spectral slope here, observed one, is 0.3. And yeah. Okay. So I mentioned here about the that basically this this radio emission in this model is basically produced by this isothermal jet. But what do I mean by a jet in this model? So the jets produced in MHD simulations have two components. There's a strongly magnetized jet spine, but there's also a jet sheet. So this is all this matter that surrounds the jet. So if I talk about the jet emission, I'm talking about the emission from the jet sheet. So here I'm showing radial profiles of density, plasma electron density, and magnetic field derived from the simulation in a jet sheath. So you can see that this jet has significant mass component. Okay, so here how we parameterize our model. So we have run many many different radiative transfer simulations. So there are three parameters here. So the first one is the proton to electron temperature ratio in a turbulent disk. The second parameter is jet temperature. And the third parameter is the viewing angle, so the inclination. And I have calculated 45 models for different inclinations from 90 to 30 degrees and various jet temperatures and proton to electron temperature ratio in a disk. And here's the main result. This is the most important slide in this presentation. So these are synchrotron maps of same time slice of this 3D GR MHD model for when you basically assume various electron temperatures. So these columns show you synchrotron emission maps at 13 millimeter, 7 and 1.3 millimeter wavelength. And the top panels, for example, show a model where you have strongly coupled protons and electrons in a disk and a cool jet. And in the lower panels, I'm showing the case where the isothermal jet is hot and the coupling of particles, electrons and protons in a disk is very weak. And the middle panel is some kind of intermediate state. And on the right-hand side, you can see a spectrum produced by this kind of models. This is the synchrotron bump, and the secondary bumps are basically due to inverse Compton scatterings. All these models are normalized to produce the same flux at 1.3 millimeter. So you can see that the morphology of these images is completely different when you go from here to here. So in the radio, the accretion disk looks more like spherical star. And here, obviously, you see more extended emission from electrons that basically move along the jet. In this slide, I'm showing you this case where you have a hot jet and cool disk. So here is the, as a function of the viewing angle, so here is the edge on view, and this is 60 degrees view, and here you see the system at 30 degrees from the spin axis. And also those images will change when you go from here to here. You can see strong, for example, edge brightening in this case. And a spectrum, basically the flatness of the spectrum in the radio is independent of the viewing angle in this case. But as you can see, this one single model emission produces a very different flux at high energies. And this is basically using the high energy observation is basically a good way to rule out some of the models. So which model actually describes Sagittarius A spectrum best? So here is our set of our new best bet models for this source. And here you have parameters. So basically, they all fit the radio radio emission quite well, and basically the difference is here the high energies, and we of course do not try to fit this data because this is some flares. The source is variable here, so we think now that our best model is the one with drawn as a red line. This model is has an inclination angle of 60 degrees. Electron temperature in a jet is about 20 in MC square units, and the coupling constant, the TP over TE, in an accretion disk, in a turbulent accretion disk, is of the order of 20 in this model. And this is, of course, this model. So here I'm showing our new best model, time averaged image. So this is the emission map. Basically time averaged, and these images, of course, that all the images that I have shown so far do not include the scattering effects by the interstellar medium. And we can, when we convolve those images with the interstellar medium scattering, they look like this. You can clearly see the black hole shadow here. I also see two black spots in these images. And we also create this kind of visibility amplitude maps. And here's how basically the our new best model comparison to EHT data from 2011. Our best model is again the red line, and it more or less fits the data. We have also calculated closure phases for these models, and for this particular model, and you can see that also the already existing data put strong constraints on the position angle of the jet. So basically, you can already exclude all the position angles that are larger than 60 degrees. But please, if you are interested in details of this calculation, you can please go and see Christian's and Raquel and Thomas posters. And here I could show some movie of this best model that fits all the existing data of Sagittarius A star, but I don't think I can play it. Yep, so I'm going to skip it. So we have made all those movies of this MHD model at 13 millimeter, at 7, 3.5, and of course at the 1.3 millimeter. So this is how what we currently think is going on in Sagittarius A star. And of course, this is not what you observe because this is intrinsic image. It does not contain the scattering effect. And I can also show you how the this model looks like at 1.3 millimeter. So it looks like this. It's kind of a mess. Okay. We have also scaled the same model to M87 core. So this is like very preliminary result. So basically we scale the model using different mass of the black hole, different distance. And for this source, we have some constraints on inclination angle and position angle of the jet. And in the source, we also don't have any signatures of scattering, so we don't have to worry about this. So this is my synchrotron map at 7 millimeter for the source, scaled to M87, and here's the observation. And this model here is convolved with the telescope beam, and I made the same contouring as observers, so you can basically compare those visually, those two images. We can easily get this kind of extended feature and some edge brightening even, and similar jet size. What is the difference between M87 and Sagittarius A star parameters? So here I use the same electron temperature prescriptions as for Sagittarius A star, with one exception that electron temperature in a disk is much higher. In this model is about 100 in MC square units. So it's about 5 times higher than for Sagittarius A star. And probably this image can look even better if one can add some power law particle acceleration to it. And here is my final slide that shows some preliminary results, how this model looks like at 1.3 millimeter. So that's the result. And here I would like to summarize. So Sagittarius A star appearance may be dominated by the outflowing plasma. One does not even need to have any particle acceleration to produce the flat radio spectrum in this source. Basically, in a models, in a bright isothermal jet model that we think now best fits all the data of the source, the geometry of the emitting plasma at 1.3 millimeter looks different in comparison to our previous models. It's basically more messy. You see more spots. You also see basically the black hole shadow is more pronounced in this model. It's basically because those models require a little bit higher mass accretion rate. Similar model seems to work for M87, but this is really preliminary result. This source is more luminous, so this is something that is not taken into account in the current simulations. So probably one has to include also radiative losses. So the model is not fully self-consistent, probably. And in M87, it's possible that the jet is basically hotter, there's more energy pumped into the jet. and possibly there is some more significant particle acceleration. And I would like to summarize that there's some new GRMHD models with the self-consistent electron temperatures, or more generally speaking, electron distribution functions are needed to interpret the millimeter VLBI observation of Sagittarius A star and M87. Thank you.
I just comment about the M87 simulated model. As I showed, the new space VLBI tells us not only the spine and sheath part, but also the spine part. Supporting the UR jet is a GRMHD, provided by the black hole spin. I'm just wondering that UR brightening is just one side brightening, rather than edge brightening, compared to the 43 gigahertz.
I don't understand your question.
Can you go back to the slide, couple of slides? So yes, looks like the observation 43 gigahertz is truly edge brightening. Right, but your jet is not H, no, like a one side brightening.
Yes.
So wondering that maybe
yes,
that's...
I'm sorry about this.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not saying that this model is perfect.
It yeah,
probably
so then...
the details of this model has to be still worked out. I mean, it's not...
Understand. I understand. I'm not criticism. It might be that some signature of the black hole jet rather than the ambient.
Oh, you mean that this one is
yes.
Actually
yes.
So this part is something that comes out from the inner
sky? Yes, in this scale, jet is very subluminal. So how about your jet speed on this scale?
It's kind of slow.
How slow? It's gamma
is 1. Gamma must be less than 2 for sure.
Really?
Yeah. It's very close to the black hole, so it doesn't have much time or much space to accelerate. So this is... still slow, jet.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Monica, can you go back to the picture of the spectrum that you had, the fit? Yeah, so when you have the Chandra point there, I guess that's the quiescent flux measurement, is that what you...
Yes, this is okay. Something
so
that
just,
is basically coming out from this 10 Schwarzschild radius.
So just be, yeah, so the point is, right, that the Chandra measurements is basically the outer, it's not what you're modeling, and the best constraints that we have for the non-thermal contribution is about 10% of quiescence. So if you move that point down by one order of magnitude, that's
actually... Yeah, but
actually,
that point is already
oh,
moved.
Oh, this is the one.
Yes,
okay, so
that's
that was
the
my
one.
Question.
Yes.
Okay, and then the other question we had was, so you would have about 60 degrees is your preferred angle. Does that help you or hurt you with these closure phase arguments? Maybe this is a question more for the VLBI people, but you know, when Jeff and I looked at this with 7mm, we actually thought we could rule out such, you know, 60 and below because of the it would introduce too much asymmetry. But now it sounds like we need asymmetry at the higher frequencies, and I was just wondering if this was going to help or hurt that argument.
Yeah, we have calculated many models, so please come and see this poster. Here I just showed you the 60 degrees, but we have calculated more. Yeah, I think this model from the closure phase data, it's still not ruled out, but you have to assume position angle between 0 and 60, and it's fine, I think, which is this green line and blue line and maybe even the red one, but I'm not sure.